The Colombian government and leaders of the country's main rebel group say they will restart peace negotiations next week. They missed a self-imposed deadline to reach a final agreement last week, but say they still believe a peace deal is within reach. Now, the conflict between the Colombian government and the leftist rebels of the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, or FARC, is Latin America's longest-running war. It's lasted for half a century. Nicholas Casey is the Andes bureau chief for the New York Times, and he recently spent 4 days in a rebel camp where he got an intimate view of the FARC's politics and guerrilla culture, and he joins us. Nicholas, welcome to Here and Now.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So first of all, tell us, how did this invitation come about for you to even spend this very intimate time with the FARC?
Well, it was a long story. I'd been interested in seeing one of these places, and a photographer that I knew, Federico Rios, had gone a couple of times to see the FARC in places like this. And I'd asked him if he would ask his contacts again, whether we could go and we would do a story for the New York Times about this. And that's what we did. They gave us a meeting point, which was in a very rural place, a spot that we couldn't even find on any maps, but were able to find by asking people along the way. But once we found the location, basically it was in a town where they were well known, where the FARC was well known. And once we got there, the directions were just to wait. Uh-huh. And within about 45 minutes or so, someone from the town had told them that people who didn't look like they belonged there were there. And not too long afterwards, the members of the FARC came to come and pick us up.
So you went to this this FARC camp. It's a place that not very many people from outside of the rebel forces have ever been. I mean, describe it to us. Who was there? What was it like?
It's really like stepping back into the past, almost like you've gotten to the 1960s. This is a place where people still have got Che Guevara posters up, not in college dorm rooms, but people who actually believe in Latin American revolution and that there's a way of being able to change society by picking up arms. This is a heavily armed place, lots of grenades, AK-47s, and also lots of very young people. Most people there were in their 20s, I would say, and a great number of them were in their teens. There were 19-year-olds down to about 15 years old. There were about 150 people that were living there, including some people that had spent almost all of their lives and were now in their 60s who were fighting there as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'd say in a lot of ways, this place, it's almost like one of the uncontacted tribes in the Amazon that hasn't come out for years and has its own lifestyle and its own traditions.
Right.
And that's really what the FARC has become after 50 years of living this way in the mountains of Colombia.
Well, and that's an important point that you make. I mean, this conflict, the Colombian War has been going on for half a century, which is what, in my mind, makes it so interesting that there were so many young people in the FARC camp that you visited. I mean, you tell the story of a 28-year-old woman named Sammy, who was, what, mm-hmm. 16 when she became a guerrilla?
Yeah, and that's very common. She came when she was a teenager, and, you know, now being 28, she's almost spent most of her life in the guerrilla. All of her adult years were there, and a lot of her adolescent years were there. So one thing I asked her was if she wanted to go back to see her family after there was a peace deal. And surprisingly, and this is what a lot of people I met in the FARC had to say, the answer was no. They said that they felt that their family were the people that they were fighting with in the FARC, and they had no intentions of leaving them, that they might want to go and try to see their villages that they were from once again. But they really felt their lifestyle and their kind of way of being had belonged to this guerrilla group. And for them, this is what's most difficult, I think, about the idea of a peace agreement, was this kind of form of living. And I'm not talking about the fighting. I'm just talking about the living, because in any war, you're spending, you know, more than 90% of your time just living in a camp somewhere. That part, that's what's going to disappear.
Yeah. Well, let's talk for a second about the part of this form of living that made it into the headlines for your New York Times story, and that is the mix of Marxism and free love.
that was one of the parts that was most interesting to me when I was reporting this story, because we know a lot about Latin American guerrilla groups, including the FARC, in terms of how they fight, what weapons they use. But far less known is kind of what is it like on a personal level for the people living in these camps. And one of the things that surprised me most when I got to know people there, and this took a couple of days to kind of clue into, was that there was no marriage in these places. People considered themselves to be wed to the revolution. That's the phrase that they use. And as a consequence, all their relationships are very different. They're much more ephemeral, but also I think a lot more intense because of that. People might be together for a few months while they're together in one camp, or some people have been able to hold on to relationships for more than a decade. But above all, they see themselves as guerrilla fighters, and their big commitment is to this armed struggle that they're part of. And that's really what kind of guides their relationships, which are very open and very flexible.
Well, Nick, that makes me wonder. I mean, you kind of hinted at this before, because there could be a peace agreement on the horizon. Still lots of uncertainty there. But I wonder, I mean, hearing you describe how being a guerrilla in the FARC has really become, yes, it is an absolute political position, but it's also a way of life. Does that make it harder for people who have been part of these rebel groups for so long to unwind from that?
I think absolutely. I think here's one question that was coming up quite a bit when I was talking to people, which was, where are we going to live after a peace deal is signed? And can we keep living in a camp? A lot of people there had not really remembered living in a house. And that's the lifestyle that people had had. The idea of living outside and in nature is kind of fundamental to this way of life. And that's one of the things that's up for debate right now. The FARC is trying to negotiate a way to have certain zones where they can slowly make the transition into living into regular modern-day Colombia. But listen, some of these fighters have never stepped foot in a Colombian city. Some people have never walked on asphalt before. They came from a very small town where the Colombian government had almost little or no presence, and went into the guerrilla group, which effectively, in some cases, was the law in their places. Now they'll be coming into a completely different situation where they may be walking in the streets of Bogota or Medellin in traffic jams and seeing airplanes up close for the first time. These are all going to be extremely new and strange experiences for many of these people.
Now, I don't want anyone to think that we're romanticizing the FARC, because you very rightly point out in your New York Times story that the group is listed as a terrorist organization by the State Department. The Colombian conflict over the past 50 years has led to the deaths of 250,000 people, displaced almost 6 million. And another important point, the United States has spent some $10 billion in aid to the Colombian government.
That's right.
To fight the FARC's cocaine operation. So, so this has been a long, bloody, and expensive conflict. But I wonder, from your perspective now, or what you learned when you spent some time with the rebels, do you think that a peace agreement is possible, that the end of this 50-year conflict could be on the horizon?
Yes and no. I think that it's possible to sign a ceasefire, to have people disarm. What's going to be really difficult is getting the FARC integrated into Colombian society. And here's why. Most Colombians don't know the FARC the way that I've gotten to know them. They haven't been able to go into camp and see that a lot of them are just 15 years old and ran away from their families and don't really have any good reason for having joined the guerrilla to begin with. What most Colombians know the FARC for is kidnappings, kidnappings of people in cities, holding them for ransom for years. And there's a lot of Colombians that will maybe never be able to forgive the FARC for the kind of terror which they struck into almost all city dwellers in Colombia right now. And that's going to be really hard to get past. There's the peace part, which is more of a formal agreement and a ceasefire. And then there's the reconciliation, which is going to be a much, much longer process and much more difficult for Colombians because of the role that FARC has played along with paramilitary groups in tearing Colombia apart.
Well, Nicholas Casey is the Andes bureau chief for the New York Times, talking to us about the time he recently spent with rebels, part of the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, also known as FARC. Nick, it was so interesting to speak with you. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me here.